Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Back Nation, 105.3 The Fan here on a Toxic Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're off and running here. General at your service. If you see me, bear me, N.A. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. Proud of his, 2-0, 3-0 LSU Tigers?
3-0 right 3-0. Now. Yes, sir.
Sitting there at 3-0 after
number third ranked team in the country right
you're
now.
Spoiled!
You hear the quarterbacks banged up?
Yeah.
That's the latest excuse from Coach Kelly. Now, maybe it's not an excuse because I love me some Nuss. Apparently, he's hurt.
Coach Kelly did apologize to that reporter, by the way, that was featured in G-Bag of the Day yesterday.
You know what? And that's the unfortunate thing. You know, you have to come back the next day and apologize when you should have thought about that the first time.
Yeah.
He was, you know, I think Molly McGrath interviewed him going in after the game, and that's where this whole thing started.
Mm.
That's where this whole thing, you know, Molly asked him a question, and he was like, "It's tough winning the SEC. We did what we had to do." And so he had that energy as he's walking in, and the offense is not playing well. It really is. They created five turns. The defense is finally playing like a championship type defense, but the offense is for having the quarterback that has that veteran leadership came back.
Yeah.
You know, came back to have a chance to be like a Joe Burrow or Daniels and maybe win a Heisman Trophy for the program. It hadn't been playing great. Receivers haven't been playing great. They haven't run the ball. The offensive line's been poor, but the defense is playing at a championship level. And I don't know how you can sit there and not address, you know, what was wrong offensively. It's like, yeah, they scored 20 points the other day, and 7 of those points were off a pick 6.
Hmm.
And they had five intercept. They had 5 opportunities.
Like you appreciated the question from that young reporter.
You know what? I appreciate the question. Like legitimately, like yes, coach, there's something wrong with your offense. And you know, he goes, yeah, you know, and you should just answer it.
Yeah,
yeah. We're
you don't know, expect that when you have a good quarterback.
You know, it's like, listen, hey, tip of the cap to our defense tonight. Really played well, Florida. You know, be able to create the turnovers. We got to do a better job of cashing those in.
You got to be ready for it. It's so much pressure. I mean, in college football in general, but in the SEC.
He makes $9 million a year not to yell at reporters.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And we get it, coach. You're winning, you know, you're 17-1 at night. Really appreciate you doing that. But the thing about it is you got to find a way, though, to, you know, you're going to have some games down the road here where you're going to have to score some points.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a fair question. I thought it was a really fair question. Like, listen, the question was asked with, I felt like that as an LSU alum, and I don't mean to get off on this here, but that's what it is. As an alum, I'm wondering what's wrong with the offense, too. I appreciate the question was asked.
I mean, you guys throw a lot of money into that. And
we do, lot of money.
You deserve answers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, these coaches, they get in these situations where it's high pressure and their patience runs thin and all of a sudden they have a blow up. And you do wonder, you know, does the guy have what it takes to lead a program in the SEC under this amount of pressure? Because you can't have many more of those before you'll start to look weak and
it looks bad the next day when you have to put on a coat and stand up in front of the media and apologize to a guy on the ABC affiliate.
We have Jacob Ray in for Lucius Alexander. Apparently the travel, the weekend in Vegas, the jet got the best of him, and he succumbed to some sort of a virus or another. A lot of stuff going around these days. Yeah. We're not even that far into the fall or the winter yet, but I guess the sixth season is here. Woolchuck and Schiafalo in the house. Good afternoon to you gentlemen, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. How you guys doing today?
Fantastic, dude.
Good.
Really doing well.
We're rolling, dude. It's a TD Tuesday. Very, very excited. And, you know, that Rangers game, I was with you, Brian, watching that. It was incredibly frustrating the way that they lost that. But Merrill Kelly on the bump today. Yeah. I'm feeling better about evening this thing up. And then we'll get a rubber match tomorrow.
Rangers are now 6-5 against Houston. Three games behind them for third in the wild card situation. Mm. Must win. Really, both to keep this thing
so.
Going.
Yeah,
I mean, 100%. You can say win one to have the tiebreaker, but what's the tiebreaker going to do for you if you're that many games back? Up and down game for Leiter. He had multiple mistakes in the first, including a hit batter and a walk and a throwing error, but then he settled down and retired 11 in a row.
He was on a run. Yeah,
he's been doing that in a lot of his starts where he won't give up anything for 3-4 innings. He was replaced by Webb in the seventh. Josh Young tied it in the fifth with a 2-run shot. But in the seventh, you had a chance. Beasley sends Heim, one of the slowest runners in all of baseball. You end the inning at home plate. That's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. And you wonder because the ball was hit. You know, Sanchez, I mean, it was all you do is field it and come up throwing, and you're going to probably nail Jonah Heim. I know Jonah scored the other night on a crazy run.
He does not have the wheels for
crazy,
that.
Oh. A crazy dash from first base, but... Boy, that one just seems so ill-timed the way it played out.
Well, and it was unfortunate because, you know, Bees admits afterwards, you know, that was on him, and he was thinking about, well, Jock's coming up next, and Jock had a poor at-bat, but what he didn't know was Boach was going to pinch hit Jock for Higgy. And so a miscommunication on the staff, a bad send from Bees, just that certainly was, if you're looking for the turning point, that was the turning point in the game. And I don't know, like Jonah certainly isn't going to make that play. I don't know that anybody, as Boach said postgame, was going to be able to make it home because of exactly what you just said. Yeah. Like where that play is based on how that field is constructed, that's an easy play for him to make on the throw out.
Come up throwing, and you could see it that by the time he had got to the bag, it was rounding the bag, the ball is, you know, the fielder's coming up with the ball and throwing, and you just knew that was going to be a problem.
Jerry Jones on The Fan this morning updated a number of Cowboy topics. I really think it's time to talk. Stop asking about Stephon Gilmore. He was asked again today, and maybe that'll be the last time. But he mentioned Deron Bland and Savone Revel getting healthy, and he's just more excited about, you know, getting players back than looking to the outside. I think the NFL has kind of told the truth here on Gilmore. They just think he's washed.
Yeah, I think people kind of remember him for what he was maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And when he came in here and you traded, you know, you got the contract right where you needed it. He gave you a good year. And then all of a sudden, you know, he towards the latter part of the year, he didn't look like he was very quick. Didn't look like he could really run with anybody anymore. And that's what they'll tell you. I mean, that's the one thing when you ask people in the organization about what about Gilmore, it's like he just can't run like he once did. He doesn't have the quickness. And I think the biggest issue is not so much the personnel. It's maybe what Matt Eberflus and those guys are doing. Maybe you're asking some guys to do some things. I'd love to see them do something different with Diggs. I know on the break this afternoon or this morning with Derek Eagleton, Vach, and Ambar and I were talking, and you know, the question came up about, you know, do you expect them, you know, are you more worried about Diggs or, you know, his situation? I go, I don't think Diggs is the problem here. I think Diggs is being asked to do things that probably he's not the most comfortable doing. And maybe coming off the knee injury has been a little bit of a slower adjustment for him, sure. You know, and then you're asking Wilson and guys to do things. It's, you know, that's coaching, man. I mean, and I'm usually the guy that's kind of, well, the player's got to do this, player's got to do that. I don't know in this situation if that's the case. Yeah. You watch something. If you don't change up some of the scheme stuff you do, there's going to be more 450 yard passing games in this future.
It's really hard to know when I need to move forward and when I need to drop. You know, as far as a safety. But to your point, watching the all 22 last night on the second to last touchdown. You know, it was fourth and four. Yeah. So I think Diggs thought they're probably throwing at the sticks. I'm going to play. And I think Donovan Wilson was thinking the same thing and didn't react until Robinson was even with him.
Yeah.
So Robinson's on a dead sprint.
And if you're even,
and
I'm leaving.
Wilson's like, I guess it's time to turn and go. Yeah. And then on the next one was really crazy because you're basically at midfield. Yeah. They need a touchdown. You're up four. And Wilson again gets run right by. Like,
that's disgusting.
Nothing.
And that's situational awareness too. Like, Dono's got to know that. To your point exactly, they have to score.
It just happened.
You've got to keep it in front of you. Yes, yeah. You've got to make sure you're playing with enough depth to where you're not allowing somebody to go behind you there. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's frustrating. It's weird because week one, they were really good. And I do think, to your point, a lot of that is the quarterback in which you're playing. We've seen Hurts have some decent games against the Cowboys, but this is going to be interesting against Caleb Williams in a Bears offense that has been struggling. I think I'm going to be feeling like maybe this is, it's probably both. It's probably coaching and a personnel problem if they get torched against the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah, this is the big problem. And Vach and I, we broke down some Bears tape this morning. It was that, to me, you're talking about Caleb Williams is, he's just as mobile as Jalen Hurts and maybe throws the ball better than Jalen Hurts on the move.
Both are true.
Yeah, so he's willing. Like, he throws a ball to Rome Odunze that is that is on the rope. I mean, it's like he's Williams is running to the sidelines to his right, and he's literally just lunges. I mean, he just goes sideways, and that ball, and he throws it on a line, and Rome Odunze just puts his hands up, coming across the field, and it's right there, and now he's out of bounds.
And it's a crowd of Lions defenders. It's one of those plays where you're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing.
That's why you were the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but also, I don't know that I ever want you to do it again.
No, you don't. But I'm saying, though, if you get into a game you get into a game where all of a sudden it's close like the Giants game was, it's plays like that where they lose contain, the Lions lose contain, and now he's running. And you're like going, oh no! You're thinking he's going to get the edge. He just basically says, "I'm throwing the ball," and it is. It's a no, no, no. It turns into a, oh my God, what a throw! And that's what you're going to deal with this weekend. With it, they've got nothing really. I mean, this is the old desperate team theory game is what this one is. You know, this is you're going to get probably some crazy football.
Oh, you're going to get Ben Johnson trick plays.
Yeah, you're going to get ready for this. Yeah.
Might have another 78 points combined or whatever it was.
Well, you sit in cover two, don't jam at the line of scrimmage, and let them have free release running up the field.
And get no pressure.
Like, get ready. I hope Dak has another MVP-type game.
He's two for two so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the pressure needs to get better, but I don't know how much Clowney fixes that. He's just another guy.
Yeah, the thing is that, and I'll admit this myself, when I went into the season feeling like the defensive ends were going to be able to manufacture some pressure. I felt like that they were naturally going to be able to create. Maybe not my
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Micah Parsons like pressure, but as a group, they were going to come up with pressures. They were going to come up with, okay, you have 3 sacks, you have 5 sacks, you have, you know, heck, the fact that, you know, that Kenny Clark and the inside and what they've been able to get from him has been great, but the fact that you can't get consistent pressure and you know, people will say, and they're like, hey, they got some pressure on, well, not nearly enough. Not like your quarterback faced. Your quarterback faced like each one of the offensive linemen with the exception of the left guard. Every guy had either 4 or 5 pressures.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
And not every pressure is created equally.
Right.
You know, like
you got one really good pressure and it won you the game. That just shows you right there if you could get one really good pressure. And it was the Sam Williams pressure that caused the interception. That won you the game. But those kinds were few and far between.
Yeah. Okay. Jerry Jones said, as much as anything, it's buying into the scheme. You've got to handle your responsibilities. You can't just be out there trying to make a play. Make sure your responsibilities are covered first. You can't be a lone ranger out there. That's discouraging because that makes me think that Flus told him, we just got to execute this better.
That's coach speak for they told him, we'll get better. We had some communication problems. We'll get better. Don't worry about it there, GM. No, bro. If I'm the GM, I'm like, listen, hey, how do we make Diggs better? Tell me how we make Diggs better out there. How do we, Elam? How come Elam was making plays in training camp and OTAs, and now he's not even near the ball? What are we doing? Are we doing something different over there?
Well,
these are the questions you need to ask.
You need to probably play your best pass rusher more. And I just saw Nick Harris put out, James Houston is leading all D linemen for the Cowboys with 16.7% quarterback pressure rate, according to NFL Pro, and he's playing the least amount of snaps.
Come on now. Yeah, let's get this figured out. So,
well, you brought up a good point that they might be conservative.
It's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know. Like I said,
wait, what was it?
Conservatively?
Because he played in the
spring. You're making me pronounce the word again.
No, so I was just spitballing, why aren't they playing James Houston more? And so one of the things that I was just thinking driving over yesterday, could it be that they're worried about the amount of football that he played in the spring, just went straight from that into training camp, and they're trying to conserve his longevity to make it through a 17-game season, which I think is logical. I could understand the thinking there. Otherwise, there's Sam Williams has not been good. He hasn't. Dante Fowler has been underwhelming for what our expectations were. I still am not. I'm a believer in Donovan Ezeraku, but he looks like a shell of himself right now. James Houston's the one guy, when he steps onto the field, it's instant productivity. You've got to play him.
I'll tell you this. Don't ask me about these edges because I've got every one of them wrong so far. Through training camp, and now I feel like, as an evaluator, I feel like I've gotten this group wrong than I have right.
Through the lens of having Micah, they're all really solid pieces to pair with an ace pass rusher. But they're all basically, they're like fourth in the rotation pitchers. You still got to have a dog that's leading this thing. Yeah. And they just don't have that right now. And they don't really have a defensive coordinator that's willing to get super exotic with the way that he approaches the manufacturing pressure.
Yeah. And I don't know why they're taking Malik Hooker off the field on the back end. If you got a single high look, how is that possibly Wilson? Hooker's been one of their best run stoppers.
Yeah, they played him down in that cover three. Some of that stuff.
Which in my
view is you need to flip the two. You need to put Wilson with, as long as Wilson can keep things in front of him. Really good player. I mean, he's a really good player. But when you ask him, like you said, Doss, I think your eye was right on. He's staring in the backfield, and all of a sudden now he doesn't have a feel for the route coming at him.
Yeah.
And there's no, I've got to turn and react. But that's the coaches not knowing that Donovan Wilson, traditionally, you have to play him in a position where he could be that forward player.
We got the champ coming up here in just a second. Jacob Ray in for Lucius today.
The Razor.
Razor.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, good company to be in, I suppose. Woolchuck, you got your top 10 coming up, though. Where are you taking it?
Let's do it. We just celebrated National Video Game Day. What is the best sports video game of all time? 877-881-1053. What's your favorite growing up? Maybe currently. That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the GBAC Nation here on the Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Stay tuned for your chance to win your spot in the Ultimate Cowboys Fan Hang presented by our friends at Whataburger. It's coming up before the end of today's show. We're going all the way till 6:30 Rangers pregame. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Wolchuk's top 10 here in just a second. Let's go into the Pimp Cup, where Jacob's filling in for Lucius, and he has the champ.
All right, let's jump right into this. So it is my understanding that it is Teddy Atlas.
Yes.
One day champ, going for two, correct?
That's him.
All right, we got the Crawford versus Canelo Teddy Atlas post-fight reaction.
Bud Crawford came into Las Vegas, went up two weight classes to challenge Canelo Alvarez for the undisputed super middleweight championship, and he won it running away, Teddy. How impressed were you by his performance tonight?
You kidding me? A beautiful display. That's the sweet science. That's what it is. That's what we talk about when we talk about the sweet science. All night long, Crawford made Canelo a day late, a dollar short. All night. Talking about the bigger man, the advantage of the bigger guy. How about the faster guy? How about the smarter guy? How about the quicker guy? How about the guy not only won on the outside, but even beat him at his own game on the inside? Please, Timmy, I don't want to say no more.
Look, you can't stop God's plan. I told everybody at home that would listen. Anybody that was out there, I said, I told you. I've been in the ring with Bud Crawford. He's a phenomenal fighter. He was something different years ago. He's a lot better fighter now. What a damn performance he put on tonight. What a clinic. He beat Canelo in every avenue. Inside, we was talking about strength. He was stronger than Canelo. We talking about power. He took his power well. Canelo was very timid when he was approaching Crawford.
Damn right he was timid. Every time he had to get in. I mean, after words like, the best thing I can do is not throw. Put my hands in my pocket.
Dang, it's just, you know, there's nobody like him, you know?
He is. He loves the sport, though, man. God, he loves that.
If it wasn't Teddy Atlas, I would assume he's drunk or he's on meth. You know, one of the two. But he's not. He's just on boxing. And congrats to him. He'll look for two tonight, 5:30. The champ faces the challengers. And then we'll vote it up again before we get to L.A. Live. By the way, send L.A. some well wishes. He is under the weather. Let him know he's missed here in the G-Bag Nation. Time to get to Wolchuk's top 10 at 220. Here he is, the Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. We'll get to the top 10 best sports video games of all time. Friday, I believe it was National Video Game Day. Put out a poll. And this was runner-up. For the list of the Tolos wanted, so I figured I'll just, you know, use it sometime next week. Waiting on the lineups to be announced, I'd be stunned if Jordan Alvarez is in the lineup. He was on crutches and in a walking boot after the game yesterday once he rolled his ankle, had to leave the game. So I doubt you're going to have Jordan Alvarez, which is pretty huge for the next two games of this series and also just for Houston, period. If that's going to be a lengthy injury at all, if he's got to have an IL stint here with just 11 games left to go in the season. But that's one to monitor whenever the lineups come out here for Yankees or for Rangers and Astros, excuse me. And then I just saw highest in-demand ticket this week for the NFL.
Cowboys and the Bears.
Cowboys and the Bears. The average ticket price, $597.
They're saying it's pretty close to 50-50 split of Cowboy fans and Bears fans.
Yeah, Vivid Seats has 53-47, just slightly in favor of the Bears.
Yeah.
So a lot of Cowboy fans. And I mean, Chicago, I've heard nothing but great things about. It's a home game for Tommy Arish. I'm sure he's pumped to be going back where he grew up there in Chicago. I think he's taking Bobby out for deep dish pizza on Saturday night.
Oh.
I wonder what the Bobby Belt review will be.
Nah, it's not chicken fingers or something. They got on us this morning, by the way, at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. I missed that part.
Bobby told he had a G-Bag Nation cup in the back of his trunk. And he asked his buddy, hey, you want this? The guy said no.
Damn, he said no?
Said no.
I actually thought
it was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny.
Turned down a free cup. I mean, man, that's stunning.
Yeah,
that's because that was Bobby's pee cup.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's he leaves out conveniently.
Why does he hoard his urine like that?
I don't know.
So weird.
I think he's like scared that just in case it ends up being one of those situations where he needs something to stay hydrated.
Real quick, Eric, how sweaty was Bobby at the pregame show wearing that hoodie outside?
I'll never understand how
we put it bright in the sun.
A bright, sunny morning will have Bobby Belt wearing the thickest hoodie you've ever seen in your life.
Man, you got to go with the thin hoodie. They got these fishing hoodies now.
He sat there the whole segment, I'm thinking, man, he's going to pass out. He's just gonna fall
sweat
over.
Sweat just dripping.
I was impressed with the neck sweat.
Yeah.
He was perspiring at a rapid rate. I was like, get this man a Gatorade.
He had Tim Collins had his headphones on. And Tim put them back on. He goes, oh, my gosh, what just happened?
This is the sweatiest ears.
Sweatiest ears known to man.
The ear sweat headphone. The greatest enemy of the outdoor remote in Texas.
It's cutting season
for Bobby.
It is. No doubt. Shout out to you, Bobby. We love you. All right, let's get to the top 10 best sports video games of all time.
Yeah, Sean, I texted him. Sean, I go, I heard that. And Sean goes, it wasn't me. I didn't say that. I didn't say that about you guys.
He was just happy you were listening.
That's Bobby and RJ. Get on them about
the Tolos. Love it. The Tolos love
the
drama.
Like the back and forth.
Keep stirring it up.
Just having fun. Just a couple of guys.
That's what I told Sean,
guys.
Man. We're just having fun.
Yeah, just dudes being dudes. Yeah. Honorable mentions, Sean. We had a lot of text flowing in. Jacob, did you have anything you wanted to throw out in terms of best video game?
You know, we talked about this on Friday. I went with Wii Sports Golf. It's a college staple in my apartment. So. Oh, wow.
It's a good game.
And Wii Sports is an honorable mention.
The bowling was cool, too. I kind
of
like
the bowling, the home run derby, the tennis. A lot of good.
Derby's great.
That Wii was a lot of
so
fun
much
there about
fun.
20 years ago.
Oh, yes. Mario Golf is on here as an honorable mention. Did you get big into Rocket League, Jacob, Eric?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, my dorm roommate, he introduced me to the game, and yeah, it was on from there. I started grinding the game and got really good. So.
Rocket League is fun.
I never played it. I know Shippy was big into it. He was trying to get me to play it, and I kept meaning to, but I just couldn't get around to
it. Rocket League was good. We had a lot of texts in for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and that is on this list as well.
Dude. Oh, that's definitely in my top 10.
It's incredible.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, so it is.
It's the soundtrack.
Was it like real
awesome.
Tony Hawk, or did you have to kind of use characters to get to Tony Hawk?
No, you could choose. You could use Tony. Yeah. You could use, I mean, whoever you wanted.
There was always some guy in a like bucket hat. They had like, because Tiger Woods Golf was that way. You could play with certain golfers.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
was
the
Tony Hawk that way? I mean,
the different guys around the world that were good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you really didn't know any of their names unless you were really into skating.
So they're real dudes.
Rune Glofberg and Eric Costin, guys like
Eric
that.
Costin.
Okay. All right.
NFL Street
Rodney,
on here.
Rodney Mullen.
Sounds familiar. I didn't play Tony Hawk Pro Skater as much as you probably did. I was big into NFL 2K when I first got my Sega Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah, dude,
2K. I was just, and with the Randy Moss on the cover. That was like the first game that I really got
1998?
Heavy. I think it was 2K4, I want to say. It was 2004.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, NFL Street was also a blast to play. Some of the other honorable mentions, you got Fight Night on here, NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz was also just an incredible game. Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl was the first good football game. You know, it was such a breakthrough because everything up to that point was just slow and weird and it was gimmicky and it felt like computer nerds had tried to make a football game instead of being a good football game. But Tecmo Bowl broke through. You know, as long as we're on the original Nintendo, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, there's never been a game where I've gotten more fun out of that, beating Tyson more than a few times. And then an overlooked one would be Little League Baseball on the original Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
There was just something about the mechanics of how they made that game work that it was better than all the MLB games. But you're playing with Little League teams and Canada.
Which is fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It is fun.
Huh.
Fight Night for sure. MLB The Show getting texted in. NBA Jam at the arcade from the 254.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
Rodney Mullen is a skateboarding legend. He invented the kickflip from the 972.
Oh, yeah, Kareem Campbell as well. Bob Burnquist. You had Bucky Lassick.
I love playing with Bucky.
Bucky Lassick sounds like a really good skateboarder.
Yeah,
name.
Bucky Lassick is a badass name.
Yeah,
all those guys were awesome. I do want to show love to the game SSX. The
snowboarding game. Yes, that was killer.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome, dude.
I forgot all about that game.
I used to love that. Our local friend, comedian John Brown, texting in Double Dribble on Nintendo.
Dude, John, I did not play Double Dribble. That sounds like a
blast. That was maybe the breakthrough basketball game, but it was still kind of trash until NBA Double Live Dribble. 95.
Number 10, top 10 video games of all time, NBA Street Volume 2.
Yeah, it was great.
NBA Street and NFL Street.
NFL Street was...
So you need street, like, not real players? Like,
no, it's real players,
but it is street ball style.
You don't have shoulder pads on. Yeah, you could, like, pick these different random locations
to play.
It was like
a 3-on-3 formats. Yeah, it was a blast.
It was great.
Number 9 is MVP Baseball, which came out in 2005. You could play it on GameCube, PlayStation Portable, PlayStation 2, and Xbox. 8 is EA Sports College Football 25. Brought it all back.
That's recent.
Debuting in the top 10.
People loved it. And I think some people are still playing it over this year's version. Like College Football 25 was better than 26 even was. 7, here we go. Mike Tyson's Punch Out coming in at number 7. Thought it'd be a little bit higher, but one of the star games from the 80s that's making it here in the top 10.
I mean, when Punch Out came out in the grocery store, it was amazing, but you'd have to bring like $8 in quarters, and good luck getting that off your mom and flipping 1986. So you could only get to like a bald bowl before you'd lose, and then you just didn't have enough money to stay in the game. But once it came out on Nintendo, you could sit there for hours and learn all of the gimmicks of each fighter that you had to figure out to beat. It was really just all pattern recognition, simple. But the way that they layered it and leveled it and just the way that they presented it, it was an incredible experience.
Six's backyard.
And this was a different time because growing up in the 80s when video games first hit, you didn't have games on your phone.
Yeah, you didn't have as much
your
variety.
Your friends didn't have consoles, you know? There was like, if you would have to like consider yourself blessed if you had one single friend with a Sega Genesis or a Nintendo.
And we're all trying to make it over there to play.
So you were like,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting a ticket into an entirely new world of entertainment, really.
Those were the days. Six Backyard Baseball, which has now made a return. You can play it on your phone. Bobby actually texted me and said, I think him and pastry chef Eric were trying to get a league going. Like, hey, did you download Backyard Baseball? I was like, no, I have not. And he was not happy with me for not having downloaded it. I don't play games anymore. I just don't do it. I don't have the time for it.
I know. I'd love to.
I'd love to get into EA Big College time Football 26 and get into leagues with some of my old buddies. I'm like, my brother-in-law, he's going to be in for a rude awakening here in a few months.
Oh, because he's about to have the baby?
Sometime soon here, yeah. I mean, well, they're a little bit farther along than I. They probably have another 6 months or so, maybe. NBA Jam at number 5. I did love NBA Jam. NBA Jam and NBA Live, I liked a little bit more than NBA 2K.
Yeah,
now
2K,
you can't even play NBA Live anymore.
Right. 2K took over.
4. FIFA 13. FIFA 13 might be the best FIFA.
FIFA Shots.
Because the teams were good around the world?
Yeah, but the play style of the game, and they change it like every year. Now it's not even FIFA. I think it's like 2K is taking over FIFA as well. But the way that you could, I mean, like Didier Drogba was an absolute cheat code in FIFA 13. Of course, Messi and Ronaldo were awesome. Zlatan Ibrahimovic with the headers was just dynamite. But this was also, the prime period in college of FIFA Shots with the boys.
I played a lot of FIFA 13. I think every year's game is the best game that I could play. As far as the sports perspective, I think soccer just lends itself incredibly well to video games.
3 is Madden NFL 2005.
Is that Ray Lewis?
That's the Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
I think that is the best one. Michael Vick was in his prime in that one.
The mini games, too.
Yeah.
You know, the mini games where you have the blocking pads that move, and then it's just like kind of 2-on-2, 3-on-3, whatever, like running back drills.
Linebacker.
Yes,
those were fun.
Oh, man, that's the best.
And I don't know if they still do the franchise mode in Madden.
Oh, if it's the same, I don't know.
You used to be able to fantasy draft. They would even have, like, newsletters that are coming out every week. You had, like, Bob Cousy, who's, like, narrating some of this stuff. I mean, if Madden NFL 2005 was just incredible. 2, we've got NBA 2K11. On the list. I don't know that I dabbled a ton in 2K11, but I'm sure that it's a goated game if it's this high.
I don't remember specifically, but I was definitely, that was prime 2K years.
But number 1, best sports video game of all time, according to Complex Sports. ESPN NFL 2K5, which debuted in 2004.
Is that Terrell Owens?
That was T.O.
Yeah.
And that was a great game. The first one I played was 2K4, but 2K5, the follow-up, was incredible, and it was only $20. You look now, what are these games, like $60, $70? I don't even know what the price of these games are anymore.
Yeah, it's no joke.
It's unbelievable.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Always a fun stroll down memory lane. Get some good video game talk going. Okay, what are we doing next, Chief?
College Football Tuesday. Daugherty, a tale of two cities. Let's check the pulse of Austin and College Station.
Shoot, yeah. Thank you, Jacob Ray, in for Lucius today. Cole Wynn's going to join you coming up at 3:20 here on your home of the Rangers. Here's the Chief at the College Football Daugherty.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We start with a little college football pop quiz for you boys. Who do you believe to be the Heisman favorite as it stands right now?
It's kind of tough. Arch Manning.
It's definitely
that is tough.
Not Arch Manning.
No, could it be the Oklahoma? Arch.
It could be the Oklahoma Mature quarterback.
John Mature would be up there.
He is definitely on the board. You get points because he is second right now.
Okay.
Dante Moore at Oregon?
Dante Moore at Oregon is fifth in the Heisman odds. There is one non-quarterback ahead of him, but it is a quarterback who right now is the favorite.
The wide receiver from Ohio State hasn't done anything yet, has he?
Jeremiah Smith.
It would be Jeremiah Smith, who's sitting fourth right now in the Heisman odds.
Okay.
I need to look at some of the numbers that he's put up here. I know it was
20
quiet.
Catches, 315, three touchdowns.
Yeah, that'll get it done.
Not Penn State.
No, it's not the Penn State quarterback.
I'm trying to think of
it's the guy that
the
we
Tennessee
all doubted.
Quarterback?
No,
Aguilar?
But Aguilar
he's
is
pretty damn good.
Aguilar's in the mix there. He's in the top 10 for sure.
Tennessee, right?
Marcel Reed at A&M?
Marcel Reed, we will definitely get to him. He's sixth, but right now your Heisman favorite is the man that we all counted out. Mr. Carson Beck.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's going to change.
Yeah.
Now, is your dad a
but
big
he actually
fan of the
has
Canes
been playing
well.
He, I mean, he has been good.
The Hurricanes have surprised me because they're playing legit defense. I mean, last year their defense was so bad, and that's the thing about the portal now is you can
fix it.
You can change every freaking face on either side of the ball if you want to.
And let's face it, if you're a college kid, you're a college star, and a couple of your buddies from around the country call and say, hey, we're all going to Miami, I'm in.
Yes.
I don't need to hear anything else.
Especially with the way they're paying these dudes. I mean, Carson Beck's making a bag right now, and they got some serious players defensively. There were questions about the playmakers because they lost some guys, but those guys have stepped up in a big way, and the Miami offensive line's legit. So Carson Beck right now, the Miami Hurricanes, that is your leader for the Heisman voting. And then it is John Mateer and then Gunnar Stockton, the Georgia quarterback. That's your top three right now.
Won't be too long before we have a Heisman winner from who won it twice at different schools. Take that, Archie Griffin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
That would be wild.
That would be crazy.
You're probably right. With this portal, man, I could totally see this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real deal.
Can you imagine being a Heisman Trophy winner and leaving like Joe Burrow leaving, like if he didn't go in the draft, but Joe Burrow leaving LSU and then going to Alabama?
Like any of those quarterbacks. Could you imagine Tebow leaving Florida? No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
The money's going to get huge. You'll be drawn for $20 million to go across the country. It'll be more than you could get at the NFL level.
I ain't letting you take my quarterback, man. I'm coming up with money.
I do agree. I think Drew Mestemaker should be the favorite, though. He's been the best quarterback in the
country.
Is that
North Texas, right?
Absolutely. That's right. Kyle, baby. They're like,
about to go spoil this college football playoff.
Oh, wow.
Get that at large.
Are we ranked yet?
I don't think that we're going to be ranked. But
we're just going to win Conference USA? Is that what we're
going to need to be undefeated throughout the entire season going into the final week to finally get ranked.
Okay.
I look forward to that moment.
I do too.
They're rocking right
now. We're Conference USA, right?
No, we've moved up to the American.
American, my bad, my bad.
Doing it for our country.
Yep, my bad.
Okay, so of
Give
course,
us some credit here.
We noted.
Know your football, Brian.
Arch Manning is not in that particular Heisman conversation at the moment, and things are not great right now. When you look at Texas in the SEC, points scored per possession, only the Gamecocks, the Gators, and Broadus's LSU Tigers are worse.
We're bad.
Now the
Let's
Texas
ask the coach what the problem is.
In the same category, points allowed per possession.
Stop.
Texas is number one, followed by OU and then LSU. So your best defenses are Texas, OU, and LSU right now in the SEC. But Texas, LSU, Florida, and South Carolina are your worst offenses. Now
coach, Brian brought us LSU alum, class of 88. Why is our offense so bad? I wonder if it's an alum.
You're spoiled.
If I were to interview him, could I get away with that, being an alum, asking him a question like that?
Maybe. If you flash
former
your
player,
Super Bowl ring.
Former
and
player.
Have
He's
your
probably
Letterman
be nice
jacket.
To you because he thinks maybe you can help him out with some donorship, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're going to give him some money.
We have. We've given him money to like, our quarterback's well paid. Like, they're just not doing anything right now.
So I think it is time to start talking about the next in line in the Manning family. That's Marshall eighth grade.
Peyton's son, right?
In Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Peyton's kid.
Move along here.
Maybe he's the real, real deal.
We don't need to dwell in Arch's mediocrity.
Friend of the program, Danny Cannell.
Yeah.
Listen to this as his pro comps right now.
Oh,
You'll never guess the pro comps that he has for Arch Manning. You simply couldn't guess it if I gave you the rest of time. And it might be the worst comps that you've ever heard. If you're a Texas fan, take
it
away.
Did you say O'Connell, that O'Connell flight Purdue and stuff?
I'm telling you, I could give you the rest of time and you would not.
Spencer Rattler.
I could give you the rest of time. Here he is, Danny Cannell on Arch.
There's almost like a Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons going on.
Yeah. Oh, like he's got the yips.
Where those guys were all everything. They were supposed to be incredible. And then something happened. And it's mostly mental. Where I was wondering how Arch Manning would handle the hysteria that was around him. And he downplayed everything. But to me, this is very much a quarterback, which his confidence is completely shot. And I feel like it's impacting his mechanics, which is the similarity I would compare to both of those guys. Because at one time, their mechanics looked good. At one time, they could make the shots. We've seen Arch make all the throws. And even there were times in that game when he had a couple of nice throws. But there are way too many stretches where it is as Sark was trying to get his confidence up by calling easy routes, quick hitches, crossing routes, and he was missing them. There is something, this is a greater problem that Sark has 1 week to figure out. And I don't know if you can solve it in 1 week. He has got to get Arch to play more free, to get him to go out there and play with confidence. But the only way to do that is to play your way out of it. And he's got to do that, or else when they get to the meat of their SEC schedule, this is going to be a major problem for Texas.
And right now, Texas is probably scared of that meat. You have Arch Manning being transparent about this, too. He says when asked if his struggles are more mental or physical, he says probably mental, to be honest. I think I just need to go out there and play my game. So there is a yips factor, and it is tough. It is very tough to deal with the amount of hoopla that he's had building for years now. And so I do want to lend him some grace for that. But when you do see a couple of moments where he does make good throws, you can kind of start to rule out the idea that we all thought maybe he was hurt. But if you are hurt, you can't make a couple of the awesome throws that he has made. And so there is kind of a mental confidence issue right now with him. And like Danny was saying, that's something that's got to get figured out quick here.
Well, and the mental stuff has led to the bad mechanics. And the sidearm stuff is not him. I don't know where, like all of a sudden against Ohio State, he's coming out and he's like, he's sidearming this
thing. He's Uncle Rico in the ball.
He's trying to Phillip River. Yeah, and that's led to a bunch of inaccuracy. The skips, you're throwing high, you're wide. You also do have a lot of new at Texas, and it's a new offensive line, it's new running backs, it's new skill players all starting.
And that O-line is not getting any push when it comes to needing to run the football.
So he's 100% thinking too much, 2-on-4. And I'm sure the pressure, he's a human being, and he did say all the right things in the offseason. But I'm sure he's heard all of it. I know Charlie Ward came out in support of him and was saying, hey, I got booed too in that 92 season. Other athletes have come out in support of him. But it has been bad. My Arch panic meter is not going off. I think Arch is going to be okay.
Right.
I think next year is going to be the big picture year for Arch Manning. Mm. I think this is going to be, you're going to take your lumps. People are going to start to doubt you. And then you can go and be the guy that we expected you to be next year. But he needs to play.
I think that's fair. I don't think this is something that you fix. I think this is a long term. He needs to get better. You know, they talk about preparation breeds confidence, but if you prepare like hell and you're confident and then you go into a game and you struggle, it doesn't matter. Like ultimately you get confidence from having success in actual competitions. That's where real confidence comes from. And I don't think he can get there this season.
No, I think as Danny said, he's going to have to play his way out of it.
They got to run him a lot more.
Sure.
Yeah.
His first two touchdowns were with the legs last year. Use that.
And I just want to show love to the Aggies right now. This could be a real team to be reckoned with in the SEC. I mean, the way Marcel Reed has grown at the quarterback position and the completion percentage, 17 of 37, doesn't reflect that, but it's just huge chunk gains, 360 yards. And that Mario Craver, goodness gracious, that receiver. He wears number one for the Aggies. And anytime they're playing on a screen near you, just watch him because he is electric, dude. 7 catches for 207 yards and a touchdown. 86-yard reception. Dude's an absolute monster. The Aggies, they might be the real deal.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
There it is, a college football darty for you. Timothy Weah, a Yank, playing abroad, opens up the scoring. Marseille at Real Madrid Champions League. Mbappe equalized a few minutes later, but it's 1-1, and Timmy scores 31 years after his father, George, did the same for PSG at the Bernabeu. Pretty big deal there whenever an American tallies big time against Real Madrid Champions League action. Okay, we'll look at the top stories of the day coming up next, some of the Monday Night Football highlights, and what we have to look forward to tonight: Game 2, Rangers-Astros coming up at 6:30. Then Cole Wynn is going to join us coming up for the Rangers Player Show at 3:20 here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.